This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, I got this from Garrett M. Garrett M. wrote, Kevin, you've been very insistent that Washington should be all in to win the Super Bowl during Jaden's rookie contract. So why aren't they all in on Trey Hendrickson? Doesn't the definition of all in mean you're willing to pay the price asked rather than trying to get the best deal? They overpaid for Javon Kinlaw. They traded too much for Tunsil. So why not a first rounder or whatever the Bengals are asking for Hendrickson? They haven't done enough on defense, and he might be the last proven defensive player available in this offseason that can make an immediate difference. Don't you think it's strange that they're not just paying the asking price? So, you know, at this point, by the way, let's just understand what Cincinnati did this weekend in signing Chase and Higgins to long-term deals and how they can structure that from a cap perspective that may allow them to give Hendrickson what he's looking for. Like, the possibility that Hendrickson stays in Cincinnati, I think, is a real possibility. I've never thought that it wasn't a possibility, even though he got what he asked for, which was the ability to go out and seek a trade. But that's in play. But let's assume that they're still in the mode of trying to trade him, that the asking price for those hovering around Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals is still too high for any of the teams interested. Let's also assume, and I think it to be true, that Washington's one of those teams. And let's just say, for the sake of it, that Cincinnati's asking for a first and a third, and nobody wants to pay that. So there are a couple of things here. First of all, and I've said this before, I don't like, and I know this kind of stems from my conversations over the last few weeks with Ben on this show, and our difference of opinion of kind of the where they are. All in to me is different than kind of the mode they're in, the thinking, the mindset. They're in a win-now mindset. I personally think it's really hard to debate against that. They traded at the trade deadline for a player who was injured at the time and gave up a bunch of picks for Marshon Lattimore. They traded a fifth-rounder for Deebo Samuel, but they're paying him $17.6 million for 1 year. They traded four picks for Laremy Tunsil. They have traded eight draft choices for three players. To me, that is just a standalone entity. Kind of is the definition of, we're trying to do something right now. It doesn't mean that Lattimore and Tunsil can't help them in the future also. And the Tunsil deal is actually almost a little bit different because it's almost an investment in the quarterback as well, the protection of your prized possession. But all in, to me, means that you're like willing to spend everything and even overspend. A win-now mindset is about the, you know, is about their thinking, which is, we didn't expect to be here. but we have an elite quarterback, and he's only going into his second year of his rookie deal. We can't even legally start to think about extending him and giving him a high-level elite quarterback deal until after his third season, which is 2026. Everybody understands the value of the most important position on the field not being paid at an elite level and what you can do around that. The rookie quarterback contract, not just for a rookie quarterback, but for a great rookie quarterback. And I think their mindset is about taking advantage of that. I think we've seen some proof of that. I think the fact that they were reportedly very interested in Khalil Mack, I personally think if Myles Garrett had made it to, you know, the trade market, I think Washington would have been sniffing around that one as well. And I think that they are involved in Trey Hendrickson, and they're interested in Trey Hendrickson as well. But the mindset doesn't mean that you can deliver. Because we've talked about this as well. This was not a great free agent class. It wasn't necessarily a great free agent class for the positions that they needed. And so the trade market kind of has taken over in terms of how the win now mindset has manifested itself into three trades. Lattimore, Debo to a lesser extent, and Tunsil. I don't think that in win now mode, you overpay. I don't think you allow yourself to get fleeced in a deal. I think that you are more willing to not haggle and pay a fair price. And they don't believe, and by the way, it doesn't appear that any other team in the league that is interested in Hendrickson believes that Cincinnati is asking for fair compensation. A first and a third, if we assume that it's something approximating that, I think it's at least a first plus. You know, when you then have to pay the player, more likely than not, a top three edge rusher salary, which would be $30 to $34 million a year with a lot guaranteed over 3 to 4 years, the compensation that you give up for a player that you've got to pay is not as much as what you have to give up for a player that you don't have to pay. I think everybody understands that. So, personally, I think Myles Garrett would have been the one player, had he been available, that you not only pay fair price, you might consider in win-now mode overpaying a little bit for. Because to me, they're not comparable players. Myles Garrett's a better player and a much bigger impact player than Trey Hendrickson would be. So part of it may be they are willing Garrett, all right, not Myles Garrett, but Garrett M., who sent this email to me. They're willing to be super aggressive and maybe even overpay, but not for this player.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, not for this player. And let's also keep in mind that they have a pick in the first round and in the second round in a draft that is, by all accounts, rich in edge pass rushers. They also need an edge run stopper, as we've talked about before. But I do think that, Denton, part of what Garrett writes is the reaction that I think many fans are having right now and will have if we get to training camp and nothing else is added defensively. And that is when Garrett writes, they haven't done enough on defense. And this is the last proven defensive player, you know, they haven't done enough on defense is not an unreasonable take at this point, you know, because what have they done on defense? Well, this was their This was the weakness of the team last year. And so far, I would say the biggest move or the most important move was re-signing Bobby Wagner. You needed Bobby Wagner back. He played at a high level. And without Bobby Wagner on that defense last year, it would have been even worse. And maybe Jaden wouldn't have been able to overcome the lack of a defense as many times as he did without Bobby Wagner. So to me, that was crucial. They spent a lot of money on Javon Kinlaw. Goldman, Wise, Jonathan Jones, Will Harris, and Kinlaw are the only multi-year deals done on defense. You know, they brought back on defense Noah, but Cleveland Farrell, Sheldon Day, Jalen Holmes. But if we don't see another move defensively, other than what they do in the draft, and let's just say they pick a defensive end at 29, or they trade back and they pick a defensive end early in the second round along with other picks that they pick up, you know, in a trade back. I think that what they have done will put us into position going into camp in saying that the biggest weakness on the team was not addressed. From afar, was not addressed appropriately. With that said, I would also, you know, not be like they can't be any good defensively. They didn't do enough. They're going to stink defensively again, and they've got a tougher schedule, and this is not going to be good for 2025. Jaden's going to have to be all-world plus what he was as a rookie, because defense is variable. Year to year, there's more variance in defense than there is in offense. Big changes happen, and sometimes they happen with the same core group of players that you had the year before. We've seen it in reverse. Washington in 2022, a top 10 defense by every statistical, traditional, and advanced number. It was a very good defensive team in 2022, which is why they were competing for a playoff spot late into December, actually all the way till, you know, up until January 1st when they lost to Cleveland at home. And the only significant difference from the 22 defense that was really good and the 23 defense that was abysmal, Cole Holcomb and Bobby McCain. I mean, hardly massive difference makers from 22 to 2023. Defense is high variance year to year. You know, Philadelphia's defense is one of the best we've seen in a long time. They may not be nearly as good next year. Now, they've lost some players, but they may not be as good. It just happens that way. So you add to that that you've got a staff that's in year two. They might be expecting a major jump in just understanding of what they want to do defensively. Like, we've got a lot of the core guys coming back, but it's year two, and they've got a better sense of what the system is. And, you know, we all said, I said anyway, and I think Denton, you agreed with me during the course of the year, that there was a massive disconnect with some of the players they had and the performance. Like, Frankie Louvu's a good player. Bobby Wagner is a good player. Chin and Martin played well. Armstrong at times played well. They did lose 10.5 sacks with Dante Fowler Jr. going to Dallas. But, you know, maybe they look at it and say, we have some good players. We're bringing back some good guys, good quality players, rotational players. I think they have tried to make a bigger splash defensively, whether it was Khalil Mack or currently with Trey Hendrickson. But if they don't make that splash, we will, from afar, be saying they didn't really address the weakness on the team. But they might say, don't worry about it. We like our core group, and we love them in year two. Much higher understanding of the system. And by the way, maybe in their self-examination of 2024, maybe they think it was more scheme than players. For all we know, maybe it's their run defensive scheme, or maybe the play calling was an issue more than the players. Now, they brought back Joe Witt Jr., they brought back much of their staff, but I think they've been interested in a bigger move. Mack, Hendrickson, maybe Garrett would have been. And I am not going to be, when we get to training camp, if nothing else happens, doom and gloom on defense because of the understanding of the incredible variance year to year with defensive teams. But I think if we get to training camp and nothing else is legitimately done other than, say, a high draft pick on a defensive player, I think this will be the alarm bell for most people. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. Simple question. Have they done enough defensively? And if they don't do anything else, how are you going to feel if this is the group, along with a draft pick or two, that you enter 2025 with? Denton will give me his answer. I've given you mine. 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980 and theteam980.com.